What's up, you beautiful bastards? Hope you have a fantastic Wednesday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show, and let's just jump into it. The first thing we're going to talk about today is about San Francisco. San Francisco is set to be the first city in the United States to ban e-cigarettes. Yesterday, the city's board of supervisors voted in favor of an ordinance that bans the sale and distribution of the product in the city unless it has been pre-market reviewed and approved by the FDA. But, as it turns out, none have been, and so that's why it is effectively banning all e-cigarettes, as well as banning online orders of the product being shipped to an address in San Francisco. And as of right now, this is not a law, but the legislation is heading to Mayor London Breed, who is expected to sign it. With Breed saying in a statement yesterday, "There is so much we don't know about the health impacts of these products, but we do know that e-cigarette companies are targeting our kids in their advertising and getting them hooked on addictive nicotine products. We need to take action to protect the health of San Francisco's youth and prevent the next generation of San Franciscans from becoming addicted to these products." Right, so at this moment, you might have a question mark in that brain of yours. Right, you look at this and you say, so San Francisco is going to become a city where it is legal to purchase a cigarette, but not an e-cigarette? How does that make sense? Well, it appears that this might actually be a political move to force the hand of the FDA, right? Because like I said, the FDA has not approved any of these products. And if you're wondering what the FDA's role in reviewing e-cigarettes is supposed to be, the ordinance explains that according to the Tobacco Control Act, all new nicotine products must be authorized by the FDA for sale in the United States before it may enter the marketplace. And this would specifically include products that entered the marketplace in or after 2007, and most e-cigarettes did. And we also heard from the city's attorney, Dennis Herrera, who released a statement after the vote saying, "E-cigarettes are a product that, by law, are not allowed on the market without FDA review. For some reason, the FDA has so far refused to follow the law," and going on to say, if the federal government is not going to act, San Francisco will. And on the other side of this, as of now, it looks like the FDA does have a plan to review these kinds of products. According to their site, e-cigarettes must be submitted for review by August 8th, 2022, but San Francisco officials are saying that is too long, saying by then, the product will have been on the market for 15 years, and they claim that between now and August 2022, 6 million more young people will have used e-cigarettes. And adding, San Francisco is not content to wait until then before addressing, for its residents, what appears from the evidence to be a major public health crisis that is going unattended. And regarding frustrations with the FDA, I mean, San Francisco is not alone there. In fact, several health organizations have sued the FDA, saying that their inaction has led to increased use of vaping among teens. And in fact, just in May, a federal judge sided with those organizations and said that the FDA needs to review e-cigarettes. Right, and when you look at the numbers, there is reason for concern here. According to the CDC, 1 in 5 high school students uses e-cigarettes, and 1 in 20 middle schoolers do as well. And I will add a note here, because anytime we mention the official numbers, we have people from high school or people who are in college know people in high school saying those numbers seem low, with people making claims that in their personal experiences it seems far more rampant. But, you know, as far as those official numbers for high schoolers, the amount of students who have used these products is on the rise. For example, according to reports, e-cigarette use in 2011 was 1.5% of high school students. Now in 2018, it is reported to be 20.8%. And the CDC also says that teens often become dependent on nicotine at a quicker rate than adults. Now on the other side of this, we've heard from Juul, the biggest producer of e-cigarettes in the United States. They're actually headquartered in San Francisco, and their spokesperson, Ted Kwong, released a media statement saying, "This full prohibition will drive former adult smokers who successfully switched to vapor products back to deadly cigarettes, deny the opportunity to switch for current adult smokers, and create a thriving black market instead of addressing the actual causes of underage access and use." And according to reports, Juul actually supports stricter regulation, but not full prohibition, with the company saying they want to include electronic age verification technology and limit how much can be purchased at once. There was also a health professor speaking with the New York Times who says he doesn't think that the law makes sense, saying, "On the face of it, it's ludicrous that we would ban e-cigarettes but permit the sale of tobacco and cannabis. It's really smart politics, but dubious public health." But with that said, of course, to note, right now it is not a law yet. It won't be until 30 days after the mayor signs it, and in fact, even after those 30 days, the city still has 6 full months to fully implement it. But ultimately, that's where we are with this story. We're going to be hearing more about this in the future. And with that said, of course, I pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts around this? Do you think this is a good move, a bad move, somewhere in between? Why not? Let me know. And then let's talk about why we had Kim Kardashian in the news, which I really want to say, Kim Kardashian news is like my favorite kind of news in 2019, because you honestly don't know what kind of story you're going to get. Right? I say Kim Kardashian, it could be a sex thing, it could be a business thing, it could be a just kind of drama thing, it could be an outrage thing, or maybe she's at the White House freeing people from prison. It's all possible. It's all on the table. But today, the Kardashian news goes to a Kardashian classic, which is cultural appropriation outrage. So yesterday, Kim Kardashian announced pronounced shapewear.
She calls it kimono and says it's her take on shapewear and solutions for women that actually work.
Right, so she announces slimming undergarments and a variety of shades and sizes. And the BBC later reported that Kardashian West had actually trademarked the kimono brand last year in the United States,
and also filed trademarks for kimono body, kimono intimates, and kimono world.
And following the news of the trademarks, that was met with a ton of backlash online.
And it appears the reason for that is kimono is a big part of Japanese culture.
Right, the Japanese word kimono translates literally to thing to wear, and they are essentially long-sleeved robes tied with a sash that have been worn for generations, with kimonos typically being worn on special occasions, and they're a huge part of Japanese culture.
And so there were a good number of Japanese people, social media users, who were outraged by the line, accusing Kardashian West of stealing and disrespecting Japanese culture,
critics even taking to social media using the hashtag KimOhNo when expressing their disappointment,
and some were actually particularly worried that people would start thinking of Kardashian West products when they hear the word instead of the traditional garments.
One of the people not happy was a Japanese woman by the name of Yuka Ohishi, who spoke with the BBC,
who said, "We wear kimonos to celebrate health, growth of children, engagements, marriages, graduations, and funerals. It's celebratory wear and passed on in families through the generations. This shapewear doesn't even resemble a kimono. She just chose a word that has Kim in it. There's no respect to what the garment actually means in our culture."
And as far as my reaction to this, I feel like this is just part of the plan.
It's hard for me to believe that a businesswoman and a family of business people who have been so incredibly calculating would not have the foresight that a large chunk of people might have an adverse reaction to her naming her company a thing that already exists.
And understanding from a marketing aspect, you can launch this, there can be outrage, maybe you kind of spark a little yourselves, maybe it just happens naturally because of the nature of what you did.
For free, you then get millions and millions of dollars worth of free press.
It can be negative, but now there are more people that know that a thing that you are launching exists.
And if the outrage becomes too big, she can just be like, you know what, there was a play on my name, I'm gonna change it, then she gets all the good press.
She's listening to us, thanks Kim.
Or, once again, she is an expert businesswoman, an expert marketer, she has an understanding that in the news cycle, this will go away relatively fast, potentially.
But, you know, with this story, I'd love to pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts around this?
Then, and who is the president lashing out at today news? We have Megan Rapinoe. She's the co-captain of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. And Megan's been in the news in the past for political reasons.
Back in 2016, she made national headlines when she kneeled during the national anthem as a nod and kind of a move in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick.
Earlier this week, we also saw Donald Trump criticizing Megan for not singing along with the national anthem.
Then this story kicked into a different gear when 8x8 magazine released a video where, among other things, this happens.
Are you excited about going to the White House?
I'm not going to the fucking White House. No, I'm not going to the White House. That's okay. We're not going to be invited.
You're not going to be invited?
I doubt it.
That video and other clips then blew up. And there were a lot of reactions from everyone, supporters and critics of the president.
But we also saw a response from the president.
Trump initially tweeting at Megan, although it was actually not her Twitter handle.
Just one random person had a very weird morning.
But Trump's Twitter response to Megan said, "Women's soccer player Megan Rapinoe just stated that she is not going to the effing White House if we win. Other than the NBA, which now refuses to call owners owners, please explain that. I just got criminal justice reform passed. Black unemployment is at the lowest level in our country's history, and the poverty index is also best number ever. Leagues and teams love coming to the White House. I'm a big fan of the American team and women's soccer, but Megan should win first before she talks. Finish the job. We haven't yet invited Megan or the team, but I am now inviting the team, win or lose. Megan should never disrespect our country, the White House, or our flag, especially since so much has been done for her and the team. Be proud of the flag that you wear. The USA is doing great."
And actually, the other, and for me personally, I thought this was the more interesting story, although the other one was trending further.
Today we heard Donald Trump lashing out at Robert Mueller, who, if you haven't heard, Robert Mueller will be testifying before Congress because Democrats have issued him a subpoena.
We then saw President Trump seemingly respond to this news, tweeting out simply presidential harassment.
And then this morning, in a phone interview on Fox Business, it appeared that Donald Trump accused Robert Mueller, and I'm going to hit this hard, while not providing any evidence to back this up, that Robert Mueller committed a crime.
When speaking about two FBI officials who had expressed disdain for the president that Robert Mueller actually fired,
he said, "Robert Mueller terminated their text messages, he terminated them, they're gone, and that's illegal, that's a crime."
And what he's referring to there is this report that was made public in December.
And it reportedly said that the Justice Department Inspector General could not recover texts from the phones assigned to the two agents for their work with Mueller because by the time investigators requested the devices, they had been reset in preparation for others to use them.
And also saying that the report detailed glitches that complicated the Inspector General's ability to recover and review messages exchanged during a 5-month period ending the day Mueller was appointed.
And one of the biggest things in that report is that the inspector general wrote that there was no evidence that the two attempted to circumvent the FBI's data retention policies, and the content of the text messages did not appear to be a factor in whether and how they were retained. And there is no mention of Mueller deleting the text messages or ever having any role in deleting the text messages. And just as a reminder, Mueller has even publicly said he does not want to talk to Congress.
Now, I hope and expect this to be the only time that I will speak to you in this manner. I am making that decision myself. No one has told me whether I can or should testify or speak further about this matter. There has been discussion about an appearance before Congress. Any testimony from this office would not go beyond our report.
But yeah, that's where we are with this story. It's just out there in the world. It was a thing that was said. Mueller was also the same guy that at one point President Trump said he thought that he handled the investigation honorably, seemingly until the public understanding of what was actually in the Mueller report spread, right? When people saw the details of the report, not just Barr's summation of it. Yeah, ultimately that's where we are with the situation. And of course, the question I'll pass off to you, what are your thoughts on this situation, the first one? Both. If your bathroom visit or bus ride's taking a little longer, I'd love if you took some time to let me know in those comments down below. And that's where we're going to end today's show. And hey, if you like this video, I would love if you took a second to hit that like button. Also, if you're new here, be sure you hit that subscribe button. Definitely ring that bell to turn on notifications. We have consistently put out the best video on YouTube that also has Philip DeFranco on a daily basis, I think. 8 years running. Also, if you're not 100% filled in, if you missed either the last two videos we put out, you can click or tap right there to catch up. But with that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.